If you were with us last Sunday, you remember I began our time together asking you a simple question. Is there anyone who pops into your mind, be it individually or collectively, any person or group of people that kind of make you shake your head when you think that God loves them as much as he loves you? Well, this morning I want to begin by examining the other side of that same coin. How does it make you feel when you consider that there is no one that God loves more than he loves you? Or put another way, there is no one that God loves you less than. There is no one that God loves more than you. Not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Not Mother Teresa. Not Stephen. His name means crown. Not Stephen, the man who took care of widow and orphan, and as was being martyred, said to Jesus, "Don't hold this against them." Or not that one that you think no one can hold a candle to. Not that one person who is, for you, the great example of Christian faith and Christian life. God loves you as much as them. Unconditionally, unilaterally, fully, perfectly. As big as a mind blower as that is to me on occasion, that there is no one that God loves more than he loves me. When I take it to that next step, that there is no one that God intends to use more than he intends to use me, that God desires to use all of us equally to the glory of his kingdom, so to speak. Mother Teresa, Mary, Stephen, anyone we've crowned as being exceptional, God desires to use you as much as he has used them for his kingdom. That does cause me to pause and kind of wonder, Lord, is that the best you can do? When I start thinking about myself personally, quite frequently I ask that question, is this the best you can do? Now, occasionally when I think about you, I ask the same thing. But frequently when I think about me, is that the best you can do? You ever ask that question? Is that the best you can do? I mean, maybe just in a general way, most of us know about that just from last week, right? Maybe for three quarters, if you're a Patriots fan, all four quarters, if you're a Rams fan, you were wondering, is that the best you can do? I kind of wonder if the rafters of heaven were ringing with those very words when each one of the events recorded in today's readings occurred. Kind of wonder if the angels were standing by, unencumbered with sin, perfect in their relationship with God. I'm sure they rejoice at the truth that he loves everyone equally and fully has proven it in Christ. But I wonder if at times they wondered about his choice of servants. Take the first character to this morning. The foul-mouthed friar is not generally the favored of the folk of God, is it? What about the potty-mouthed preacher? It's exactly what Isaiah claims to be. He understands who he is. Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. Gotta wonder when the prophet was going through this. And remember, it is the prophet. This man is the prophet. He's not one of the secondary seers, Ezekiel or Jeremiah. He's not kind of one of the minor mouthpieces, those guys whose names we tend to forget. Especially not one of those guys who doesn't even merit his own book, who's only recorded in a sentence here or there in someone else's story. No, 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 no. This is the pinnacle of prophets, the prophet Isaiah. And yet I gotta wonder if the angels, when he was being selected, didn't say, is that the best you can do? How about sending Gabriel over here? His tongue is golden. He needs no purification. Why choose that one? What about the apostle? In the second scripture reading for this morning. I mean, it would have been one thing, wouldn't it? If God had chosen for the model missionary the man who was maybe ambivalent toward the faith, God selected a man who was violent toward the faithful. It would have been one thing, would it not? If God had chosen for the apostle, the model missionary, a man who was maybe apathetic towards the formation of the church, he chose a man who wanted to destroy it from the outset. A man who realizes who he is. I am least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be numbered among them. Gotta wonder, were the angels asking the same question? Is this the best you can do? Ananias certainly asked the question. Maybe you remember the story. It's after Saul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. A couple days later, God tells Ananias to go and wash Saul, baptize him, for he is my chosen instrument, God's words, not mine. And what does he say? Lord, I know you're busy up there, so let me fill you in on some of the stuff going on. See, this man, he's been trying to destroy the church. He hates your people. He's come to arrest them. He'll even kill them. What is he saying? Is that the best you can do? And what about in the gospel reading this morning? The fisherman. You know, I suppose it's one thing. I can get over the fact that Jesus didn't visit the seminary to pick his first disciples. Neither students nor instructors of the scriptures. But wouldn't you expect he'd at least pick people who were the best at what they did? I don't know how you read the Gospels in regard to the occupation of the fishermen. But it seems to me these guys can't even hook the ones that eventually get away. You know how that goes, right? I mean, well, you should have seen the one that got away, right? What did Peter say today? He didn't say, well, Lord, you know, last night there were some whoppers in the net, but they jumped out at the last minute. The fishermen can't seem to catch anything without divine intervention. Put out a little bit deeper into the water. Try the other side of the boat. And, you know, half the time when they seem to put out in water, their sailing skills seem subpar, right? They always begin to sink. Lord, save us. I mean, is that the best he can do? Even Simon realizes it. Lord, I am a sinful man. You'd be better off to leave right now. And yet, each and every time the Lord delivers these, his children, coal from the altar touching the lips of the prophet, the scales falling from the eyes of the persecutor, those who can't even catch fish, commissioned and equipped to catch people. And what do we hear them say? here am I. Send me. Send me. I will work harder even than all of the others. We'll leave everything and follow you. You see, that's the one thing. Beyond the fact that we might want to scratch our heads and say, is that the best you can do that these texts have in common? Is that each and every one of them, having been delivered, desires to be deployed into God's kingdom and his work and his service? That's why this piece of art that usually hangs in my office is in here this morning. I think probably many of you have seen this before, right? I did not pry the hands off of Jesus. I didn't hide them. It just so happened those were the only two pieces that fell off years ago. But I chose not to put them back on for a reason. So often Jesus' hands aren't seen in me because they are pried deeply into my pockets or hidden under my arms. I'm a sinful man. It'd be better off to leave me. And yet he says of me, you are my chosen instrument. And he says that of you as well. So the question today isn't, is this the best he can do? The question I have you ponder is this the best I can do? That's why I leave that like that on my wall, hoping to help me wonder that at times. Is this the best I can do at being deployed? Knowing that we are his hands in this world. That we are the ones he's called to be his mouthpiece. That we are the ones he has called to reach out and bring others in. That we are the ones who he sends, maybe across the street, maybe across the globe, with the good news of Jesus. We have been delivered. God loves no one more than he loves you, even as much as he loves you no more than he loves anyone else. God loves you fully, perfectly, completely in Christ Jesus, has forgiven all your guilt, has taken all your sin away, has given his own worth to you, and one day you will live with him in heaven. But until that day, God has also called you to be his hands here on earth. And I don't know if the angels are scratching their head, but today I'd have you maybe scratch your own a little bit. Wonder, is this the best I can do? Lord, strengthen me. Use me. Open my mouth. Open my ears. Open my eyes. Open my hands. Open my life to serve you. To the glory of his name, in which we will pray, if you will join me. Dear Lord, it is a moment of honesty and truth to examine our lives and say, is this the best you could do, choosing me? It's a bigger, deeper honesty to sit back and say, Lord, is this the best I can do? And so, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with the passion of Isaiah that says, send me, send me. That you would fill us with the dedication of Paul that would say, woe if I do not share Jesus with others. That you would fill us with the commitment of the disciples who would leave all so they might find some to bring to you. May that be true of us. In your name we pray. Amen.